Well, good morning, and welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church, and I'm Pastor Ken Keltner, lead pastor at Brookside, filling in for Pastor Greg, who's not able to be with us. And back in January, we had Ron DeGard and his wife Kristen and their children with us for a portion of meetings. It was in that cold snap that we had back in January, but we were glad that Ron, who grew up in Atlanta, was willing to come out with his family and be with us, and we just have enjoyed our time with Ron. And if you have missed any of the past broadcasts, we would encourage you to go back and listen. As we've been talking about Ron's life and some of the application even today, I think the application is there for all of us, whether we're new believers or we're moms and dads who love the Lord and are wanting to try to see our kids have a passion to follow the Lord. And so, Ron, thank you for being with us again.
Well, thank you for having me.
Kids and all have been enjoying the time in Wisconsin?
Oh, they have. They love seeing the snow. We rarely ever see that.
Oh, man. I wish we could kind of shove a little bit of that down to Atlanta, but that would shut Atlanta down, I'm sure. Well, we've been talking about your testimony, how God has worked in your life. Just seems to me your mom and dad were pretty passionate in their walk with God, and it was infectious for you, and you had a sensitive heart. Anytime you heard the word preached by pastors, your pastor and your youth pastor gave you the opportunity for 5-minute messages, and God grew you through that. Went off to Bible college, and I think you worked some camps even in the summer, and God was training you, but it was after one of those 5-minute messages that you knew God wanted you in evangelism. And so here you are, 15 years and traveling all over, not only the United States, but internationally. Where are some of the places you've gone internationally?
We've gone to Ireland, England, Scotland. We've been to the Philippines, and we've been to India, and that was a really neat trip that we were able to do there. Singapore, Trinidad and Tobago, obviously Canada and Mexico, and several other various places, Africa, and just several other places around the world.
Well, you have certainly been all over. When you got out of Bible college, you went through grad school and so forth, and you knew, I'm going into evangelism. Just walk us through that. I mean, that is a step of faith. I mean, because you're calling pastors going, hey, how old were you, by the way?
Well, I would have been 25.
25. 26. So you're calling seasoned pastors as a 25-year-old saying, hey, I'm an evangelist and I'd like to come to your church. Walk us through some of that first year.
Well, when I started, I was single. Mm-hmm. And so I did a lot of youth meetings and things of that nature. And then, you know, really, for an evangelist, we all pay our dues. There's really no one way how to get started. And really, it's a really difficult thing to get started in. And God has a way of weeding people out that he doesn't want in evangelism, traveling in that capacity. And if the Lord's in it, he'll open up a door, and he will certainly make a way. So I traveled singly, and the next year had about 20 meetings. And it was a great start, and I was very excited about that.
Where were you based out of?
I was working at that time out of Kansas City.
Okay.
Kansas City Tri-City Baptist Church.
Yep. Uh-huh.
There in Kansas City. And that's where I met my wife. And she was playing for a service there at the church that I was basing out of. And we had a mutual friend set us up on a blind date. And we went to the Cheesecake Factory down in the plaza Kansas City. And I tell people it was the best $45 I ever spent.
Well, it's more than $45 today, I'm sure. But you had noticed her while she was playing the piano, I take it.
Yeah.
So you were pretty excited with your friends. And so then you all saw each other for a period of time, got married.
Well, we did. And so.
And she knew you were in evangelism.
Not at the time.
How did that go when you broke that down?
Well, so we're driving down to the Cheesecake Factory, and our friends, they're married, they're sitting in the back seat, and I'm driving, she's in the passenger seat, and she says, my dad manages Kemp Arena here in town, and he always takes us every year to the RV show. And we go down and check out all the RVs and the trailers. And she said, I'd love to marry an evangelist someday.
Oh.
And at that point, she didn't know that I was an evangelist and, you know, about drove off the road. But after that date, I was traveling and I was always gone. We met in January, engaged in April, married in November in that same year. And had several evangelists tell me, hey, we got married, went right on the road ministering and traveling. And 20 years later, it really hurt us. If you could just take some time, just be in ministry, but just be able to where you can let the dust settle. And there's a lot of changes that go on when you first get married.
Yeah, sure are.
And so we went to work at the Wilds Christian Camp in North Carolina. And I had served there for 10 summers, but we went for 2 years and was on their full-time staff. And that's kind of where we started marriage, and really is a wonderful place, as there was some godly folks there that invested in us. And answer questions when we're frustrated, and just really kind of helped us as newlywed people. And so from there, I knew that I was going to go back into evangelism, and we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, where we base now. And we were just praying that God would open up doors. And so we did a mailing to several churches that we were going back out on the road and trying to get meetings. And from that mailing, within 3 weeks of that mailing, we had so much response that we had a year scheduled out already. And really, that's a miracle for a young guy just getting started. And so we saw that the Lord's provision in that, and it's been full ever since.
And she's an accomplished pianist.
Yes.
I mean, she loves playing the piano, does a great job. And so you're traveling out there, and then the kids started coming along, and you kept traveling.
We did. We traveled just in a vehicle. When we had kids, we moved to a trailer. So all my kids have lived in is an RV in church parking lots. That's all they've ever known. It was several years ago, one of my youngest kids asked me what a backyard was.
Oh, wow.
Because they had never had one. And so I told them what it was, and they said, did you have one growing up? And I said, yeah, but you get a new one every week.
Yeah.
You know,
you get the churchyard.
I remember the kids were studying the American Revolution in school, and we were doing meetings in Boston. And we were walking around Boston. I said, hey, remember Paul Revere? Yeah, there's his house. And there's the old North Church where they hung the lantern. And so they get to see stuff, and they've traveled all over the country. They've been to Hawaii several times, Alaska. You know, they don't realize how spoiled they are, but they've gotten to see and do a lot of things. That's really been neat.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing, young people who grow up and their mom or dad are in ministry somehow bite off that lie from the devil that if you get serious with God, you're going to get gypped in life.
Yeah.
And I love how David said it there. Even when he was going through a difficult time in his life with the Philistines at the time, he penned for us under the inspiration of God, Psalm 34:8, O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I always try to encourage our folks with their kids that when their kids can see the reality of God and that he's real and he works in their lives, it is so powerful. And I believe your kids have been able to see that and experience it being with you, whether on the road and seeing all. I mean, if they'd stayed, you know, down in Atlanta, they might never have ever gone to Hawaii, let alone Alaska or the Freedom Trail up in Boston or wherever it might have been. And what a great opportunity for God to just, again, show his goodness to you and to Kristen and to the kids with all the opportunities that they've had, and that they see a real passion that mom and dad have for serving the Lord. And, hey, God's real. Look how he's worked and how he's blessed. Share with us a little bit of the trial you just recently went through as a family. And here you are out there serving the Lord. And the enemy would love to discourage you and defeat you. Share a little bit with us what took place in that trial.
We travel in a 57-foot trailer, and it's a fifth wheel. We use a semi-truck to pull that, and that's what we stay in. So we have our own accommodations where we go from church to church, and we park at that church. And so it's a little bit of a different lifestyle when you're starting out at 26-year-old and you're a full-time RVer. You know, people think that, you know, you're a millionaire and you retired at 26,
exactly.
You know, because
exactly.
That's their dream. That's what they want to do, travel the country and, you know, in an RV. And so we sold our trailer in August, and we put all of our stuff in a 53-foot box trailer that we had rented from a storage company. And they had sealed it, and they do this all the time at companies, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. They rent these things all the time to keep stuff in. So we had things in boxes and bins and cloth-hanging closets and whatnot. And so while we were replacing or buying another RV, we traveled that fall and lived out of our car, just stayed with people or, you know, in the meetings or at hotels and whatnot. We got our new trailer the first week of December. When we got home, all of the water from the storms that North and South Carolina had this past September, October, from, you know, the flooding in Charleston at Columbia, it had rained for 2 or 3 weeks without stop. There was standing water inside the trailer, and everything, boxes were wet inside of the kitchen, appliances were wet, and there was just mold, black mold, really throughout everything. And as we had people look at it, insurance came out, and really we had to throw everything out. There's a lot of stuff you couldn't say. We could bleach the dishes and the silverware, but there was just a lot that we could not say. And it was really almost everything that we owned, and the insurance didn't cover any of that, and that's unfortunate. I think they should have. But, you know, the Lord owns all those things, and they belong to him, and if he wants those, you know, he can have them. And we don't derive our pleasure or joy from those things, because that's found in Christ. And we have an eternal home in heaven. So what could be better than that? But we had to throw away kids' toys and just suits and clothes and kitchen appliances and things like that. And so it was a time of loss, you know, for our family there. But the Lord has been so gracious and so good to us and helping to replace some of those things. And he's always taken care of us in the past. And we're just thankful to watch him do it in the present.
Now, I want to ask you a question here in a moment about all that. But if you're just tuning in, this is the Word for Life broadcast put on for you by Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Ken Keltner, lead pastor, filling in for Pastor Greg. And we're visiting with Ron DeGard, who has been an evangelist for 15 years. He's been at Brookside. He was back in January with us for a week of meetings. And so we have been visiting with him, how God's been working his life. Catch some of those past broadcasts if you haven't heard them yet. And we're just talking right now about this trial to come, I guess, around Thanksgiving. Open the trailer and see all the water come out and all your belongings, everything that you owned, totally destroyed. Walk us through how you took your family through that trial, because, I mean, that's when the enemy comes along and says, hey, take a good sniff of that. I mean, how good a God do you have? I mean, he loves for us to think that our life is being mocked, that God doesn't care about us. And you got small kids. And even as a veteran, seasoned believer, there's going to be some time that, man, you could just really hang your head and get down. How did you help your family walk through that trial?
You know, obviously, that was a time of great loss and surprise, and it took us a long time to go through that stuff, throw it out, and it just seems like you're just starting over and you have nothing. But the Scripture has always been the source of how we know God and how he communicates with us, and really just meditating on the character of who our God is. In Job 9:4, the Scripture says he is wise in heart and mighty in strength. So in other words, that means God knows exactly what to do. And he has the power to do it. And when you trust and rest in a sovereign God, you know, he's in control. We're owners of nothing. We're stewards of everything. And so it's up to him if he would like to take those things. But it was neat to see how I would share with the kids things that we lost or needs that we would have and how the Lord would meet those needs. And they would see gifts given to us or the Lord replace something. And it was just neat for our kids to watch, to see the Scriptures in action and the character of God in real life.
Mm-hmm. And watch God just provide.
Yes.
I mean, that is so powerful for any believer, no matter what age, to see that God is answering our prayer. You had a message on the power of prayer from Jeremiah. And, I mean, as a mom and dad, and it has to be a reinforcement and encouragement to you all as you're sharing this with your kids, and then they're coming back going, hey, Daddy, look, God answered.
Yes.
He provided for us, and isn't he a good God?
Well, it was so neat that even this week that the church gave a very generous gift to us. The very first thing my son said to me as we sat down, he said, Daddy, God answered our prayers.
Amen.
And you know what? There's not an amount of money that I would ever give away to trade for that.
Thank you so much, Ron, for being with us. Ron DeGard has been traveling for about 15 years. He's been with us on several broadcasts. Pick up some of those past broadcasts that we've had with him. Thank you for tuning in with us on The Word for Life. And again, this is Pastor Ken filling in for Pastor Greg. And may the Lord bless you today.